right. So welcome to another podcast episode from Raw Talks Podcast, the podcast where we discuss anything in personal development, self-healing, and just how to make your life abundant and radiant, right? Using natural tools and resources. So today I got my teacher and friend, Michael Hetherington, with us. And it's nice to finally get you on the podcast and going to let you introduce yourself. And also we're going to share a little bit about one of the modalities, the tools that you actually founded yourself. So I'll pass it over to you, Michael.
Oh. Well, yeah, thanks for inviting me, first of all. It's always a pleasure to share story and also share these modalities, which I think we really need them in the modern world, because, you know, there's an epidemic of depression, anxiety, and what we've been doing with the traditional models of, you know, medicine and stuff is not, doesn't seem to be working, obviously. So it's time to, you know, look at other options. And that's when hopefully that my work and this space, this whole industry, is picking up some credibility and some attention. So I started basically when I was like 18, 19, I realized that school kind of sucked and I wasn't really interested in it. It was before that, probably 16. I was like, this is nonsense. And so I started like being open to different things and started, you know, experimenting as a teenager and all that sort of stuff. And I did explore with a bit of LSD and things like that as well. And that really did help me personally at the time. And then I, you know, from that, I started naturally becoming more interested in meditation, yoga, these types of things. And I remember like going to the local library and actually like looking at books myself rather than school telling me this is what you need to study. I was like, stuff you, I'm gonna go and do what I would like to study, right? And so I remember like reading, exposing myself to Buddhism, yoga, psychology. It was a bit dry, but I did a little bit of psychology. And then I was like, oh, these guys know, right? The yogis know what's going on here a lot more. You know, they seem to know a lot more. And Buddhism is very, you know, made a lot of sense. It's very logical in a lot of ways. So that got me very interested in, oh, these cultures, let's go over there. Let's see if I can get over there somehow and break out of this, you know, Western, you know, Legoland kind of situation. And then that's when I started traveling. I went to New Zealand and then I went to China when I was 20 and taught English there. This was like, what, 20 years ago. And that really just started me up, you know, really opened me up to this whole new world of like Taoism, Buddhism, yoga. And it just made a lot of sense. And then when I came back from traveling, that's when I started studying it more. You know, I enrolled in Chinese massage. I enrolled in acupuncture. I started doing a lot of yoga as well. So I'm hanging out with yogis. I'm hanging out with Hare Krishnas a lot. And I really got a lot out of it. And I think I just continued that path. So all through my 20s, I did that, just study. And then in my 30s, I started, you know, becoming a practitioner and a teacher or like writing books about it and stuff like that. And that's basically where I am now. So I'm in my 40s now, and it's just continuing that process of sharing the knowledge and the wisdom in these other traditions, but also merging it now, which is kind of cool, with like neuroscience and, you know, the science is getting on board finally. And it's verifying a lot of the stuff, right? Meditation, for example, it's like, oh yeah, it actually does work scientifically. So now people are like, oh, let's meditate. So, and that's basically the process or my journey anyway so far. And through that, you know, I came across cranial relaxation technique, which we'll talk about today a little bit more. And it was really just came out of the various studies that I did, applied kinesiology, acupuncture, massage, acupressure, stuff like that, and then neuroscience. And it sort of came out of that. And then I wrote a book, like a small book about it. And then that took off, you know, and then I made a course, a video out of it, a video course, and that took off. And so I was like, oh, there's something here, you know, people are getting a lot of benefit from it. It seems to work really well. And so I'm at the place now where I'm just sort of rehashing it or reinvigorating it so that it can be sort of spread to more people, because I know, you know, from the feedback, it's very powerful and it seems to work really well. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's a beautiful story. And I just love hearing the story about how your personal journey kind of leads to a modality that helps more than you, you know, your curiosity and passion for there has to be something more than what I'm seeing and what's around me, and how that leads you on a journey that you inquire more resources and techniques and experiences that you combine into something own, which is really cool to hear, because there's so many modalities out there already, but you know, still to write books and create an own technique, that's, you know, that's really a legacy to leave to the world. So what would you say, what is this technique really about that we're going to talk a little bit about today, the cranial relaxation technique? You mentioned it a little bit about, you know, the acupressure points and applied kinesiology, but how did it really, you know, how did you come to create this technique? Like, what was it for you that was so powerful that you decided, wow, I'm gonna do a modality out of this?
Yeah, so I think it really kind of clicked in. I was studying applied kinesiology, Touch for Health, which is a particular stream of applied kinesiology. And inside that, you know, there's all these correction points. There's, you know, once you find a stress, you touch this point, and then it seems to clear the stress out of the system. It's quite profound. I don't think we fully understand how it does that, but it does. Because the chiropractors that actually created the techniques, it mostly came from chiropractors to begin with. But they could do a feedback. So, oh, the muscle's weak, right? So the muscle in your arm is weak. And then you touch a point in the back of the head, and then you test the muscle again, and suddenly it's got strength in it. It's like, wow, that's really weird. Like, why does touching the back of my head fix my arm strength? So this is what the chiropractors were, yeah, fusing Chinese medicine points with their very good understanding of anatomy and all that sort of stuff. So I was studying, you know, that branch, Touch for Health, and these were basically the cranial relaxation technique is basically I packaged the neurovascular points, which is one particular set of corrections, which is all to do with the head or the cranium. So points on the head. And I was like, oh, I'll just package this and see if I can just go away and practice this and simplify it, because applied kinesiology is pretty far out and pretty intellectual as well, right? It's pretty like, you know, there's a lot to it. So I'm really into the idea of like simplifying things down, like EFT as well, which is another thing we practice. It's kind of a simplified version of actually all that same stuff that the chiropractors sort of discovered. And then it moved through time, and then it sort of filtered down into the common people, right? Common practitioners.
Layman.
And so, yeah, so then the cranial, I packaged the neurovascular points. And then I went away and I started doing it in my own acupuncture clinic on people at the end of a treatment in particular. And I just like place my fingers. Yeah. So we place basically, there's 12 points on the head that you access, and you simply access them by bringing, you know, two fingers together like this, creates a neutral electromagnetic field, two fingers. If you do one finger, it's more like positive or negative dominant. So if you bring two, it's so neutralized that it makes it balanced, right? And then we place these 2 points on the skull in a certain sequence. And it just has a massive effect on the nervous system, on the brain function. And so I started doing that, and it was like knocking people away, you know, on the table. They're like, getting pretty wiped out in a good way.
Yeah.
and then I was like, oh, and then I started bringing in this idea of energy psychology, which is, what if we focus on a stress, a specific stress, like a memory, right? So their boss at work or something's stressing them out. So I'd say, okay, now focus on your boss at work, right? Bring them to your mind's eye. And then I'm like, can you feel the stress? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, good. And then keep the focus, like keep thinking of your boss. And then I'll run through these points by placing the fingers on their skull. And then it all calms down, right? The whole system calms down. And then afterwards, I'm like, how do you feel now when you think about your boss? And I'm like, oh, it's not that big a deal. It's not that strong anymore, right? So that's the energy psychology aspect, is finding a stress in the mind and then recalibrating the way that the brain's responding to it, basically neutralizing the stress response. And once you do that, you know, everything works better. The brain works better, their emotions, everything, the, you know, intelligence comes back online, because this is a big part of it. And this is what the science shows as well, is that when you're stressed, you become stupid, right? That's a blunt way of saying it. When you're really stressed out, you're really stupid, because your brain is very functioning at very basic levels, like an animalistic level. Even your pupils go narrow-minded, focused.
Primal functions, more instinctual and impulsive.
Impulsive, that's right. Reactive, aggressive. And that's basically your intelligence level, right? When you're in that hyper-stress state. And of course it has a function, like it's not a bad thing. It does have a purpose. But the problem with modern culture and modern society and the way that we're living is that most people are in that state most of the time. And, you know, making stupid decisions, being impulsive, you know, being yelling at people, like, you know, violence is just like out of nowhere. It's like, it's because the brain is very simplified. And so, you know, just by placing the fingers on the skull is one way. There's many ways. There's one way to calm that nervous system so that the rest of the brain actually switches back on. And now the person's calm, and now the person's likely to be much more intelligent with like life decisions and stuff like that. So calm is almost like an entry point into intelligence. Stress is an entry point into stupidity or foolishness, something like that, right? Dull. So that's what I realized through the years and with acupuncture and stuff. If you just knock people into a very calm state, they generally function a lot better. So that's what cranial sets out to do, is just help neutralize and calm the brain. So, you know, they go off when they function better.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I mean, it's just different ways of explaining it. But I remember they talk about personality traits in traditional Chinese medicine like that. You said you become narrow-minded, you don't have a sustainable way of looking at life, and you make these impulsive decisions that are just creating more problems for you, and then you attract more of that into your life. So yeah, I really resonate with, you know, that sustainability, that you access the higher function of the brain and, you know, become more rational, that you can take other forms of decisions. Who would you say this is for, right? Like if I'm wanting to do this technique, like, what would I be coming with? What kind of symptoms would I be coming with if I want to explore this?
Yeah, so because it's so gentle, I think anyone can do it, right? Anyone can practice. Probably children is a bit harder because they don't want to sit still. But I think from any age who's willing to do it, because it's so gentle, anyone can do it as a basic overview. And people that it would really help with is basically anyone that has, you know, anxiety disorder, has trouble settling down, switching off, has a tendency towards, you know, things like even OCD, ADHD, those types of things where it's like a impulsiveness. There's a lot of impulsive behavior. Mm-hmm. So that would work really well. However, I did come to awareness that, you know, if it's a serious mental illness, schizophrenia, psychosis, then it's probably not the first point of call for you don't. That requires, you know, professional, you know, medical help, psychiatrist, psychologist, medical doctor. You need that first. Mm. And once that's in place, then you could look at the other things as a complementary to those other treatments and other programs. But if you don't fit in that bracket, then it's definitely worth a try. And it only takes 10 minutes or so to actually do the process. Mm. You don't have to believe anything. You don't have to, you know, do a test or anything like that. All you do is just lie down or sit up, and you can do it on yourself, or you can get somebody else to do it for you. And then it's much nicer if someone else does it on you. Mm. So you can just settle in. So that's it.
Yeah, and like my own personal experience working with it, I remember like I was doing a lot of trainings with you through your online portal, and I stumbled on this course, and I was like, 1 hour course. And it's like, because all the other ones you had are like you go through a process and you do a few different videos to learn. And I was like, what can you learn in 1 hour? But I was intrigued, and I was like, okay, well, we put some good things. And I got it, and I was like, 3 points, 12 points. And I was like, this makes no sense. You know, my mind couldn't grasp it because I was still in that mentality. If you don't do enough, you won't have a result, right? Like more is better kind of mentality. And then I tried it, and I was like, wow, it's like literally like the headache, the tension went away. And I even remember giving it to a client at the time, and he was like, really? 1 hour? And he tried, and he's still doing it today, right? And this is a person who has like severe headaches, you know, like this pressure and very intellectual person that has like a work where he has to think and structure. And if you make a mistake, you have to backtrack a lot of life. So I really found it was helpful for people that are very much intellectually engaged, which is probably everyone in today's society with phones and everything going on. But I also found that it was really a powerful way to people, like you said, the balancing, the points, right? And you can really feel something happens when you do the points. I feel the saliva starts in my mouth. I feel the breathing and you're like, even when I'm teaching it sometimes, right? I did a training with you. Even when I'm teaching it, like it's, there's a certain point that I can show the points to others because I'm like, wow, I'm starting to get wiped out. Much of this, right? Because it's so potent. And how come would you say it's so potent that you really feel, not wiped out in a bad way, but it really, it's like an off button for your nervous system, and you just, what would you say is that makes that kind of function?
Yeah, I think basically it's because when we place, especially the double points, so on either side of the head, you're creating like a circuit, right? That's going into both sides of the head. So I think when we're in stress, or most people, we're kind of like a bit imbalanced in the brain function. Mm-hmm. So there's a lack of communication between the hemispheres of the brain. There's some issue going on, some inconsistency of connection, right? Mm-hmm. And when you place the points on, like this one, for example, it creates like a circuit So now the left and the right hemisphere are able to, you know, bridge and communicate more easily. So then it rebalances itself once it has that circuit across. And I think that is what really gives it the punch. Because I think the brain's trying to do it all the time. It's constantly trying to balance itself out. But there is definitely the hemispheres are definitely separated. And then there's another part of the brain deeper, which is actually acts as the bridge. Can't remember the name of it. But so you've got three sections of the brain which need to be all working together in order for the whole system to be working properly. And if one of those systems goes down or stops working for some reason, then the whole system, the whole brain system is functioning at like 80%, 70%, etc. So creating that extra loop, it helps increase the function.
And if someone is new to this and like, okay, what is this technique? Like, what are you guys actually talking about, right? Like, what is it that we're actually doing, you know, with the technique? How does it kind of look like? You don't have to explain the whole, but like, just to get a gist out of it.
Yeah, so the two fingers and like the three points, for example, so directly above the eyeball, there's a notch in the skull, and you place the fingers on there for about a minute. Right. Just breathe nice and easy. Yeah, if you want to give it a go, why not?
Why not?
So, yeah, directly above your eyeballs, about, they call it like one finger width. And you just place it there gently. There's no pressure. You know, you don't need to dig it. And just take a few easy breaths and just close the eyes, and you might start feeling something happening. Good. So you can always stay here longer if you like, you know, if it feels like it's buzzing. And then the next point when you're ready for it would be to the ears. So you find the top of your ears and you go up about a finger width up, and there's another point there. Just relax the fingers on that. Now, it does take a bit of tension into the arms when you're doing it on yourself. So you're trying to remain relaxed in the shoulders while holding all this up. And you can move your fingers like little micro adjustments. Sometimes if you're just off the point and you feel like, oh, if I move it a little bit forward, for some people you can really sense, oh, that's it. You sort of lock in to the point. But if you can't feel that, that's fine too. And then we can do something fun. So just imagine the rest of your day, like just create it in your mind. And just put a smile in it. So no matter what, you're walking down the street, everyone's kind of got a cheeky smile on that you come into contact with. And then you've got like an inner smile happening. And the whole rest of your day has kind of got this sort of cheeky smile vibe going on. I as best you can. Good. And then we'll just finish quickly with the top one. So just two fingers, go to the very top of your head. So it can be a bit hard to find, but if you find your ears, the top of your ears, like that, and then you bring the hands together where the middle fingers reach, then you just go down on top of the head. That's the point. That's close to the point anyway. So it's in the vicinity. Take a few breaths. And again, just put that smile in the front of your day or in the rest of your day. Good. Take a breath and then release when you're ready. Just take a moment to settle. And if you've got any water nearby, I recommend a sip. That's it. And then just, let yourself settle. All right. That's just a basic introduction to it.
Yeah.
How'd you go with that, Simba? Did you feel it?
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely powerful. And and this is the short version. You mentioned you also have the 12 different points that you can work on yourself. And when we talked about it, when we just learned it, it feels like it's still in its infancy as well, right? Because you created a very simple technique that people can, in a fast way, relax stress, tension, headaches, or brain fog, or even aid in some conditions, like you mentioned. You know, if there is any condition that's impairing brain function, we can stimulate the hemispheres to talk to each other. So even though it might not heal you, it will be a way to help you and produce more relaxation to the system. But also, you know, that we can go deeper with it. You can, like you said, you can work more therapeutically with it. So I found it was very good as an add-on to all the other tools that I had as well, right? To like, people have a hard time meditating, then this is a way of bringing gentle focus into different areas. And it literally helps, you know, the monkey mind to slow down and the voice to be a little bit more silent so we can connect. So yeah, it's so many different ways to use this tool, and I feel like I'm just starting to, you know, play around with it and see which areas we can combine it to. And it's a very fun modality to work with, for sure.
You're right, it's very simple. And yeah, it's really once you got the basics in place, once you know the points, for example, you can play with it, right? You can add it to other things. If you do Reiki, you could do Reiki and then finish with it, or you could start with it and then do Reiki, or you could do massage, then whatever. So because you can do the 3 points pretty quick, you can sort of place it amongst other techniques, or I imagine you can even do it with counseling. You know, you could at some point, if the client's open to it, and you can just see that they're scrambling. I think that's what it's really good for, is like when you feel like your brain is scrambled, that's a definite feeling that the system isn't, you know, the highway isn't working properly. So you could go, okay, let's just take a moment. Would you be interested in trying something different just for 5 minutes? Get their permission, right? And then go, okay, this might look weird, but just go with it, right? So just see if you can place your hands here, da-da-da-da-da, talk them through it. And then you should probably notice them sort of all settle down, their breathing will change. And then release, and then you can get back to it, right? But if someone's brain scrambled, if your brain scrambled, it's really hard to get any sense out of them, right?
Yeah. Or to talk to someone if you're not fully present. Yeah. And I'm thinking like therapy and counseling, right? You don't really get any much worth if you're ungrounded and scrambled and disconnected. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, nothing, because nothing's going in. Nothing gets encoded properly. They're not listening properly. So it's almost like, I think the dream vision is to maybe in all therapeutic settings, but also in life, when we're connecting with other human beings, is to spend a few moments stabilizing our system, or getting our system into some sort of function before we engage, you know, with the client or whoever it is. But I think that that's something amazing to work towards in the future, is to actually make that normal. And I think that's another aspect, is I think normalizing self-care, normalizing self-treatment is, I think self-care is kind of hip now. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of becoming normalized, which is great. But maybe the next level is self-treatment, like balancing yourself out, doing in the park, do pranayama, you know, tapping on yourself to calm yourself down on the bus or whatever, like doing, you know, cranial relaxation techniques, doing breathing, whatever it may be, and doing it in public so that it's normal. It's not weird, right? It's not weird. I think that's why we don't do it a lot, because we're sort of, it looks weird if we do this stuff in public. But I think looking at your phone and smoking cigarettes is weird, right? I think that's, that shouldn't be normalized, but it is. So
just the context, right? You know, like the context which you find yourself in. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So I promote heavily, highly promote self-practice, self-regulation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is one way you can do it. Cranial relaxation. Yeah.
That's amazing. So if I've been listening to this episode and I'm new to it, and, you know, we had a little bit of a try for the technique, maybe I felt something, what would be the next step? Like, if I want to learn, you mentioned you had a book, what would I do to contact you or get in contact with you and learn this technique?
Yeah. So actually this weekend, I'm not sure when you're seeing this video, but it's on the 1st of July is the 2023. We're doing a live training here in Chiang Mai in Thailand over 2 days. And I'm going to be recording it as well as streaming it to distance students. Right. So I'm trying to work at this like hybrid situation of, because I still like training live, right? I think people love live events.
Yes.
Especially after, you know, Zoom fatigue and all that. So I'm trying to do, live plus online if you can't make it to Chiang Mai. So that's happening this weekend. And I will be recording it, and I'll make it available via my website later on. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to do that yet, whether it's an ongoing just enrollment through an, you know, automated process, you just sign up and you've got access, or I will sort of release it 2 or 3 times a year so that I can give more sort of personal support rather than just an automated system. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to know, just go to my website and follow the links and you'll find what's available.
And the website is?
Oh, yeah. MichaelHetherington.com. So it's after my name.
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm sure that'll be connected somehow. Oh, there's my name on the screen.
Yeah, it's on the screen already. Yeah. I can also drop the link in the info for sure if people want to get in contact with you. And yeah, it's been amazing having you here and sharing about this tool. And, you know, it feels like we're just scratching the surface with it. And it's easy when you're enthusiastic about it that we go deep into it, but I really like just to give people like a sample and get a little bit like, I want to explore this a little bit more, right? That I don't get oversaturated with information, just enough to kind of get that little tease. That's really what I felt with the technique. Like, wow, this is interesting. And then I went on to learn other modalities from there, but I still come back to these points, although how much advanced stuff I'm learning, I'm like, wow, these points are still very potent, and I incorporate them into other treatments. So yeah, I'm really grateful for that. And yeah, I will be joining the course as well. So it will be fun.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So Simba's going to be, at the live session on in Chiang Mai, right? Going to be helping me out a bit. So yeah, it's cool. And I'm just, you know, I've just updated the manual and I'm sending it off to the printer today. So we'll get updated versions of stuff. And looking at things like more in the energy psychology field, I've sort of fleshed it out a little bit more as well. So talking about things like addiction, talking about things like a little bit about trauma. We won't go into that at depth because it's not really enough training for such a intense, complex subject. But we do touch upon it because it is relevant.
Yes.
And a few other aspects, so that it's more like potent, and you know if you're working with yourself or working with someone else, and they come up with, oh, I've got this addiction, or I've got this impulse, or I've got this problem with this person in my life, or I've got this goal, but I just can't seem to hit it, right? So that's what we're going to be covering as well, is like, okay, well, how do you apply cranial relaxation technique to these scenarios? Yeah.
So kind of like a support coaching tool that you can use, you know, like standalone, but also if you're already a coach, you can really make it very physical, not less cognitive.
That's very true. Yeah, definitely. It's like a coaching tool, because you're actually, yeah, rather than intellectualizing the process, trying to push people through intellectually, you can just balance their brain function so that their goal that they're going for is actually, it's not that stressful, right? It's not that stressful. Right. So, yeah, very cool.
Well, looking forward. And we also had a comment. Someone says, see you this weekend, looking forward. And I'll say, awesome. Looking forward to see you as well. Yeah, it will be fun. Great. So thank you very much for joining the podcast. And I'll sure we see each other more time in here, because I know you have tons of fun tools. And, you know, I know your heart is very passionate about helping people, like you said, normalizing self-care, self-treatment, and really adding like a little place for people to work with mental health with natural resources. So I'm sure we'll see each other more times in this sphere and sharing more of your tools and knowledge. So thank you very much for this. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you, Simba.